Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Talking Toys with Taylor and Jeff, where we go back in time to discuss our favorite toys, one toy line at a time. Hello, and welcome to Talking Toys with Taylor and Jeff, action figure exclusive.
I'm Taylor.
I'm Jeff, and it's the Star Wars version of the show, and we're here to discuss... I guess the only female droid in the original trilogy. We're going to talk about EV-99.
Yeah. I remember when Star Wars in Character did a breakdown of this particular character. It's really strange.
Yeah, I'm not sure where the fact that it was female came out. But, yeah, I don't know, but it makes sense because EV, you know,
EV, yeah,
that's reasonable. This figure came out as part of the Power of the Force line. I actually got mine with, Jabba the Hutt dungeon action playset along with a Man-O-Man and Barada. So This is the last of those figures that I had. So I never had this on card, and I never even saw the card until years later. Let's talk about the card real quick. But first, did you ever have one, Taylor?
No, I did okay. Not. And I don't really remember seeing the Power Force stuff hit like my local store growing up. I remember seeing Jedi stuff, but I think by the time Power of the Force came, they were like...
We got them in Paris, but that's about it. The photo on the card is it's from the movie, and it looks exactly... You know, the droids are easy for them to recreate, especially at this point.
Yeah.
It looks just like the figure in the package. So it's really cool. It's just like from lower mid torso up, and it's straight on. So not a very dynamic pose, but it's cool. And I like the use of the sort of burnt orange on the nameplate and the backer, the back of the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
The figure backing, because I think it blends well. Would you have liked to have seen a color that the figure would stand out a bit more from?
You know, I was trying to debate that. I think because it's like one of those where it's like, sure, a blue would have made the figure stand out more, but at the same time, orange fits the personality really well. And sometimes they chose kind of personality colors for a lot of the figures they put out, because everyone has their own unique color for the most part. This kind of burnt orange, it feels right for EV-99.
It does. Again, it matches the metal that the droid is made with. And it seems odd, though. It's almost like it's almost like green on green. I don't know. It's odd. But
I could see that.
But the figure is really weird. I'll be honest. I could never tell. I always thought this figure has like a pelvis.
On the back, on the back.
No, that's
it's on the front, but it's like a back pelvis on the front of the legs.
Exactly. Always confused me. Always confused me.
And it does hinder the legs. Like the legs don't kick out quite as much because of it.
Right. But it also might help, because this was kind of a flimsy figure. The legs on it were very similar to 8D8. which I believe we talked about before.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we should have.
So let's just start at the top then. This is going to be kind of a shortest show, folks, I think, because the figure is intricate, but there's really just one side looks like the other. So
yeah.
But the head is what's interesting to me, because this is the only figure that has a movable mouth.
Yes.
So you've got the top of this thing. This thing looks like kind of like a coffee pot of some sort to me, but you got the top of the head, which is very smooth, but the back of the head is textured and it looks a little like a brain, which always creeped me out. Did that ever creep you out?
A little bit. It's one of those, I couldn't tell if it was a brain or if it was like Forlom's eyes, but yeah, it's textured almost like Forlom's eyes, where it's almost feels like a beehive, but it's shaped like brain lobes. And
yeah.
It comes out of the back of this, and it doesn't remind me as much of a coffee maker as it does a giant blender.
Yeah, I can see that too. Yeah. and the way it's shaped, it looks almost like a van of some sort, or a subway car.
Yeah.
A train car, because it's very long. And so we've got this, and it's, and again, what color is this? It's not really brown. Is it like a burnt umber?
It's like a bronze. It's actually like a really dull bronze.
And I think that's why I think of coffee, because you remember those, like those coffee carafes you would see like in offices, like in boardrooms in the 80s, that had that sort of yellowish bronze color. That's what it reminds me of.
I can see that.
So I think that's why. And then, so directly underneath that, we've got these two layers of black that are, again, very smooth. And then we've got two eyes painted on that are painted yellow. And then the bottom layer of black comes down almost like a nose. So it's clearly made to look like a face of some sort. And then directly above the black layer in the back is where you've got the handle. And so to move the mouth. And so then below the black, we've got one layer of bronze and another layer of bronze underneath that sticks out a little bit lower. Mm-hmm. And then the mouth comes out of that. It's a very thin piece of plastic that comes out of that. It's really bizarre. And I'm not sure why they did it. Yeah, I'm glad they did, because it's really neat, but I'm not sure why they did it.
Yeah, it's one of those that at this point, we've seen, like, EV99's, like, speech with the mouth moving is not so much in the movie that I would have thought that was a necessity to have for the figure. But it was almost like Kenner saying, hey, you know what, let's try to add this in, and let's see if that's what helps this figure sell.
Right.
Like it's kind of, it's strange, because it's like, you know, the way that the head is angled for the most of the movie, you don't even see that flap moving up and down.
You do, actually. You do. If you go back and watch, you do see it. So I'm glad they put it in there, because it's odd, because it's not something that you see with a droid, and it's not really something I don't think that would be necessary.
Right.
Either, you know, from a logistical standpoint, because C-3PO speaks perfectly and his doesn't move.
Right.
And so coming down from there, the neck is just a cylinder. But then we have the body. And this is where, like, K2SO in Rogue One, his body reminds me a lot of this figure from the neck down. He's just a lot stockier.
Very similar, yes.
But yeah, we've got this torso that just looks like, it looks like armor that would be sitting over like a stormtrooper, doesn't it?
It does. It has a lot of the same kind of the detail or the inspiration of the armor from the AT-AT commander, or some of the snowtroopers, where they have the single pane and it's built in the two sides.
Yes.
It reminds me a lot of that armor there that has the elongated center.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting, because the front is fairly smooth, with the exception of the middle section. There's like a ridge that comes down and comes down from the shoulders and is curved down. Almost like it looks almost like it's supposed to look like she's wearing a vest that is open,
or a rib cage,
like a rib cage, because it comes down and kind of opens back up. Yep. And then over on the right side of her chest, there are these four notches that almost look like a rank insignia.
Yeah, and I think in my notes I'd put rank insignia ? And I was like, maybe that's some sort of like sensor, or like a heat exchange.
Probably almost a vent, like a heat sink. Yeah,
a vent.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then under each arm on the side, there are these, like, this looks like mesh. I'm not sure what that's for.
Yeah, that was one that I couldn't quite figure out. And I didn't see anything on the figure. I know the figure is kind of a put together from various parts. And I think those are just like almost like wires that are wires and like these little struts that are like kind of bound together and put under the arms. So there's no telling what that's supposed to be.
Yeah, maybe holding something in.
Right.
You get around to the back and that's where it gets interesting though, because there's two things in the back that I'm confused about. One is that the back is sort of open, but mm-hmm. at the very top between the shoulder blades, there's a very definite triangle cut out, but there's nothing there. It's almost like there's supposed to be a sticker or something there.
Oh, like that rectangle?
Yeah.
You know, and I thought of that as being like the service plate. You know how C-3PO has his service plate?
That's a good point, yeah.
But at the same time, there's nothing there, so it right. seems kind of odd. What's the other odd one that you have?
The screw going down the middle of the back.
Okay. So that was one that that I thought about as well. In the movie, EV-99, when talking to 3PO and R2-D2, is kind of down. And when R2-D2 talks back to her, she kind of does this thing where it almost looks like she stands up.
Oh, so you think that's to make it?
I think that's the screw point to make her taller, to make her more intimidating.
And well, and that makes sense, like, because that makes sense because it's sitting inside this black open shaft that comes down and it connects to the bottom portion of it. So it makes sense that this top portion would raise up and down.
Yep.
Because it's not necessarily connected to anything else by wires or anything like you have with C-3PO. So I think you're probably right.
And when you think about the ribs will sit down into that pelvic yeah. joint to make her shorter when need be.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I like the way that's colored. You know, we've got the black surrounding it, and it comes down mm-hmm. and around this piece that it basically just sits on underneath that has this you know riveted panel on the back there, right above where I guess her ass would be.
That is the waist exchange system.
Gross.
You're welcome.
And then coming down from there, we've got these two rounded portions that the legs sit into mm-hmm. that I guess are supposed to, I guess they're the connectors for the legs. But yeah. Going back around to the front to that pelvis, it's odd. I'm not sure what it's for, but it's shaped, again, it's shaped like a pelvic bone. To me, yeah. you get these two ridges that come up and are curved down. In the middle, it looks like a gear of some sort, and I guess that's for her to turn on.
Probably so.
Would you assume?
Yeah. The part that I find interesting about this is, I mean, you're spot on with it looking like a pelvic bone. It looks like a pelvic bone or a piece of a seat that we would sit on, but it's upside down.
Yeah.
And it's turned to the wrong side of the body. And it feels awkward in that this really feels like it should be on the back and turned upright. But I can see where this idea of this pelvic bone plate almost serves as like a mini skirt sort of thing that right. kind of adds a little bit of character to EV-99. Same with like the brain portion. Almost looks like tightly wound buns on the back of the head. So I think that they're finding some very minute details kind of in the way of how they dealt with the droid Metropolis
yeah.
that indicate certain areas of a female anatomy in a very simplistic and stick-like droid. So I think that they're trying to emulate some of those features.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think you're spot on there. And it is, like I said, it's odd that it's at the front. It almost looks also like an apron.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
As well. Which I guess that's technically what it is. It serves as kind of an apron for her. But it's odd because there's not a lot of detail on it. But there is some. Like there's some texturing on it. Because there are two little posts that come up out of it that stick out in the middle. But there's not like a... There's not a sharp line on it. It just kind of flows into the rest of it. It's really odd.
It's very odd.
It is. And so So let's go back up and let's talk about the arms. And the arms, again, they're mirrored for one another. So we'll talk about one, and we've talked about them both.
Yep.
They're very, or are they?
No, they are mirrored. Yeah.
So what are we looking at here? We got the circles at the shoulders, then coming down from there. Are these like hydraulics that allow it to, I can't tell what's going on there.
Yeah. So the whole thing would be hydraulics. Let's start up at that shoulder. So one of the things I found interesting with this figure, instead of it being where the shoulder starts and it's just on that circle joint,
mm-hmm.
the whole joint is actually in this teardrop shape that points to the front of the chest if you're looking at the side.
Oh, yeah, I see that.
As you turn the figure, that point also turns, or as you turn the arm, that point also turns with the arm. So that point moves. And out of that, you've got this kind of bolt that sits on the outside of the arm. And then it looks like another bolting or like a hinge. And then the rest of it is like pistons. It's like arms and pistons that would help move this. But they're all small tubular type sculpts.
Right. And we've got tubes on the front and back of it as well. It's just kind of odd. It's very intricate, but you're not really sure how it all works. But I'm guessing, yeah. It works to help the arms move in and out and up and away, I guess.
Well, and when you think about EV99 in the movie, there's not a lot of articulation with the arm itself. And even like the elbow joint, it's just that wheel. And they've captured that aspect of that simplicity of the arm. And the simplicity of the arm not having to do a lot, not needing a lot. They've kind of mimicked what they saw on screen. I feel like they nailed it. Even though it's small and there's not a lot to it, I really do feel like they were hitting the marks as far as getting what was on screen and probably right. from their pictures.
And the joint, the elbow joint, you can see is mm-hmm. just circular, and it's got, you know, I got a bolt coming out of it. And then the forearms are kind of like miniature versions of the upper arms. You got the same sort of pistons and everything, although there's not as much going on there, but there it looks like they definitely, you know, there are some ringlets going down it that look like it could you know, move back and forth. And mm-hmm. then the hands are what's weird to me, because the hands are just like these, they're just flat, there's no clamps or anything, they're just like they're almost like metal flippers, because there are no fingers or anything like that.
Right. This is a really weird hand. And in the movie, it's almost like a little piece of metal that is pointed off at someone. I believe there's a little bit of articulation with a thumb, but for the most part, it is kind of just a metal plate. I'm pulling up a picture of EV99 just to see the way that hand looks. And it looks like it's just... lots of drawings. I'm actually looking for the movie version to see the hand.
I don't know that we saw much of it, and from what I remember, it looked like this.
Interestingly enough, the hand in the movie are little clamps that come almost to like a needle nose plier sort of end on the end. So I don't think they nailed the hands the right way.
Okay.
That's kind of strange.
It is, especially because everything else is so screen accurate.
Yeah, I mean, even so on the side of the body is a whole set of like heat sink vents. You've got even the little teardrop shape that points out of the shoulder. You've got the circle elbow. But when you get down to the hands, instead of it being just a flat piece, it looks like a pair of tweezers in a way, like really thick robotic type tweezers on the end of the hands. And they didn't try to do that. And that seems a little odd. And maybe they couldn't do it with the mold. But it does seem odd.
Yeah. I would be surprised that there was anything that they couldn't do at this point
mm-hmm.
with the line. So it was a choice of some sort. So, right. Let's move on to the legs, and the legs are even more industrial looking than the hands, although the feet look like larger versions of the hands. The legs, these may be, let me look up real quick, let me look up 8D8,
they're
because
not.
I feel like these legs, I don't know that they're necessarily reused, but they're very, very similar.
They're very similar, but they are not the reused legs. we E-Man and I, we were playing with these, and we had EV99 and
No, they are different. They're similar in design, but they are different. Never mind. Yeah,
we held them up, and I was comparing them because I wondered, and that's how I found out that no, they are not the same. It doesn't seem like Kenner to really go out of their way to reuse a lot of parts, because they were really all about having that new tooling for every single figure.
True. Yeah, that's true. So in these, it's interesting because we've got the a circular, like a wheel, basically sitting at the top of the thigh where everything kind of rotates around. Mm-hmm. And then behind it goes out a little bit behind that. There's a metal plate that comes out behind it that connects to, again, we got some more hydraulics. We got like 1, 2, 3 on the top, on the thigh, basically. Mm-hmm. These poles that come up to it, one that connects directly into the wheel, one that comes to the front of the wheel, and one that connects to the plate at the back. And I guess that's more like a stabilizer, do you think?
Probably. Yeah. I would think that one is there just to keep the balance of the robot, so she doesn't fall over. Because if you look the way it's attached in the knee, you have one hydraulic in the front, one hydraulic in the back, and this U-shaped piece that works as a knee. And so depending on how the hydraulic works, it'll force the knee forward and back. The one in the center, the stabilizer, kind of hits right in the center, which tells me that's what's keeping this droid upright when she walks and talks to people.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting because you come down from there. And again, there's not as much detail, I don't feel like, on these as there are on the arms. They're fairly smooth. You know, we've got the ringlets coming down, but there's not, you know, the hydraulics, there's no coiling or anything like we have on the upper arm. And when we get to the knee, it's just like, it just sits down. It's like the lower leg is just sort of bolted on to the upper. There's not like a separate joint like we have on the arms.
No.
And then coming down from there, we've got like two poles that come down, one in the front and one in the rear, but they almost look like they're connected. And the one in the rear connects to a smaller piece that comes out and down to the back of her foot. And the rest is just connected straight to like the near the back of the foot. Mm-hmm. And then we have these really flat feet that look like larger versions of the hands, right?
Yep. You've got the Achilles heel, joint, ankle joint, and the big rocking feet that keep her standing. And it is very mimicking of the arm in many ways, except it doesn't have quite as much detail. The rings in this, I always thought of as like kind of like pistons or like shock absorbers, but even that might be a little bit of a far fetch for, you know, what we're getting. This is, the legs feel like there was less data to pull from on how to make the legs correctly. And I believe the actual puppet, or the actual like robot dummy puppet, mm-hmm. doesn't actually have legs.
Probably not, because it wasn't seen, so they didn't need them.
Yeah, it should be, I think, hip is pretty much what we saw. If we saw any legs, it was probably just the very top of the legs, and that was it.
Yeah, it's kind of like 2-1-B. I don't think we ever saw 2-1-B's legs in the film.
No, yeah. We didn't. And there was speculation about, you know, what the legs looked like forever.
Yeah. So yeah, just sort of, I mean, there's a lot going on, especially the upper legs, but the bottom portion of the legs, it's pretty simple. So that's it for the figure, folks. So Taylor, let's talk about, what is your favorite feature about this toy?
So I know it seems kind of silly, and I know we brushed over it, but the little jaw movement is actually a really cool feature.
That's mine as well. Yeah.
So then let me pick something different.
But I also like the brain at the top. It's creepy, but it's a nice little addition, and it serves as sort of a combination brain. And also, it could be like the pom-poms you see on like a poodle to indicate that it is supposed to be a female. So I, you know, we'll just say those are our two for here, unless there's something else you wanted to mention.
There is something else. The actual torso sculpt for me
it's pretty cool.
I love the look of the torso sculpt. I think it's a really, really good look. besides for the canning mason jars, the neck, I think that the torso looks incredibly well detailed for what we're getting.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's a good call there. So what is your least favorite feature about this toy?
For me, it probably has to do with the reverse hip and the legs, and just the articulation with the legs dealing with that reverse hip and the design choice in that reverse hip.
Yeah, it's a little weird. For me, I think just the fact that the hands and the feet are so plain, and again, I don't know what, it's possible the hands look like they're supposed to look. Mm-hmm. They just don't look very functional. I don't know what this droid would do with those hands, you know?
Yeah. It's maybe push levers.
Yeah. And if that's all it's supposed to do, I guess, but it looks very plain.
Yeah. It is very, very plain. It's interesting.
It is. And it's different, but it's very plain. So what is this? What about this figure best exemplifies the Kenner line for you?
For me, at this point, it's all about the detail. Like the detail that they're putting into this is screen accurate at this point. This one feels a little off in that there are some areas of detail that just seem kind of rushed. Like the vents on the side, those are actually supposed to be interior vents, and instead they are treated as a wire mesh, which makes it kind of strange.
It is odd. For yeah. me, it's just that constantly trying something new, you know, giving us the mouth movement and everything. That's something that they hadn't done before. So let's see what happens when we do this. Oh, that's cool. Let's leave it. That's kind of where I'm going with that. I think it's cool, and I think it's a credit to Kenner that they are still this late in the line trying new stuff.
Yeah.
So is this figure cool?
I'm going to say yes.
The top just half is very cool.
Yeah, it's one of those that, like, I can, you know, E-Man gets a lot of play out of it when he plays Jabba's SALE barge, and Jabba's selling droids and weapons to people. Right. And EB-99 plays a very direct part as a hostess, bringing the people in. So, you know, it's a figure that I could imagine would have been missed if hadn't been made. It's an interesting figure. It's not one I think I would have normally just seeked out, but there is a pretty cool appreciation for what we did get. And for what we did get, it's a pretty interesting action figure.
Yeah. And like I said, the top half of it, the half that's based on the film is very, very cool. Bottom half leaves a lot to be desired, but the fact that E-Man likes it means, yeah, it goes on the cool list.
All right.
Easily. All right, folks. Well, that's going to do it for this discussion of EV-99, but we'd love to hear your thoughts on this figure. So head to the Facebook page and let us know what you think. Until next time, for Talking Toys with Taylor and Jeff, action figure exclusive.
I'm Taylor.
I'm Jeff.
And remember, they're not dolls.
They're action figures.
They're evil action figures. Was she like a torturer or something?
She was not a torture droid, but she was in charge. She was like Jabba's, like the manager of the droids, basically. She assigned everybody. She was like the four droid. Good night, folks. Thank you for listening. For more episodes of this show or other Marvin Dog Media productions, go to marvindogmedia.com to stream or download the shows, or to subscribe via iTunes. Email us at marvindogmedia@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at Marvin Dog Media. Follow us on Pinterest at pinterest.com/Marvin Dog Media. This podcast has been a production of Marvin Dog Media, all rights reserved. How many times can we say Marvin Dog Media?